I'm Mark Brazel, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 and 88.5, where it's time to go on the money with Chris DeSimeo.
A challenging week on Wall Street last week as the market continued to struggle with a host of concerns, wondering about what is happening with the Japanese stock market, what is going on in Turkey, geopolitical news, roiling stocks, the economic landscape, not all that bad. First-time claims for unemployment released Thursday, down surprisingly 12,000 at 344,000. The consensus estimate had been for that number to remain unchanged at 346. Also, retail sales were reported to be just a tad, in fact, a whole bunch stronger than analysts had a forecast, coming in up 0.6% versus an estimate of 0.4%. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend David Osborne, a chartered financial analyst and a principal at the firm of Osborne, Ross, Williams, and Donahoe, and managing now how much?
About $700
million now. $700 million, and you are a seasoned veteran of the industry, what, 25, 30 years now?
About 30 years now.
Wow. Yep. Wow. David, you know, you've been around the block a few times, and I'm looking at this market. It's hard not to get the picture, the image of Wile E. Coyote after he's kind of run out on the cliff, thinking he's standing on solid ground and then looking down. There's that split second where he's suspended in midair. Is that where the market is right now, or are the fundamental economic underpinnings a little more solid?
Chris, well, first of all, good morning. It's great to be with you again. And I think your analogy is good, although I would say Wile E. Coyote is probably suspended over a pothole rather than the edge of a cliff.
Okay.
We're probably in the midst of a summer slowdown, but I think the underpinnings of the economy are far better than they were several years ago, where he might have been suspended over the precipice of the big abyss. But right now, you know, we are, as you mentioned, the jobless claims number came in a little bit better than expected. And I think what we're seeing is a general recovery, albeit slow, in employment and confidence and expectations going forward.
Yeah. Some firms have been actually reducing their forecast of unemployment for the end of the year.
Right. I know UBS, the big financial services giant, just reduced its year-end target for unemployment to 7%, which is quite a big revision from where they were before. You know, I think recently, if we look at employment expectations here for the month of May, they increased about 0.6%, which is the highest since June of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And the big issue is really inflation. I think a lot of people are concerned about that. One of the biggest components of inflation is wages and wage pressure. And so far, the data is pretty positive that even with the modest pickup in employment trends, we're not seeing a big increase in wage pressures.
Yes, there was a story this week about the hiring plans in the auto industry with thousands and thousands of jobs being created, and yet the entry-level average hourly wages on these, of course, you know, the Labor Department posts that average hourly wage every month. It's about $24 and change, but these are jobs starting at $16 an hour. So is it safe to say that wage pressure, at least, is somewhat subdued?
It is, for the time being. And I think when the labor market gets tighter, that's generally when you start to see wage inflation coming in. And again, that's something to watch because it's a big component of the consumer price index.
If the unemployment rate, David, actually hit 7%, that's getting fairly close to the Fed's stated target, at which point they will begin the dreaded tapering that seems to be almost as feared as the fiscal cliff and the sequester.
That's right.
So is that suggesting then that there's more weakness ahead in the bond market, or is it already priced in?
Well, that's a great question. I think the markets tend to price in expectations very, very quickly, and we are beginning to see that priced in. Our view is that the Fed will begin to taper its bond purchases probably in September. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the wheels will fall off the stock market rally. It's just that they're going to start to wind down their purchase of new bonds, and they could do that a number of different ways. They don't necessarily have to just stop. They can let some of the maturing issues just mature without renewing them. But at any rate, I think the Fed is looking at this. They want to gradually wean the economy off of the stimulus and have it walk on its own 2 feet.
Take the training wheels off.
Take the training wheels off, absolutely. And, you know, but it's a process, and I think it is being priced into the bond market pretty quickly. I think where we are really concerned would be long-term bonds. I think it's important to remain relatively short to intermediate and not take too much interest rate risk by owning long bonds.
What about some of the alternative income-generating instruments such as bank loans, floating rates, and preferreds? Are those something that income-seeking investors might want to take a peek at?
Well, it's interesting, Chris. They have. There really have been a lack of alternatives out there, many investors have really reached for yield by buying preferreds and those other securities you had mentioned. And I think that to some degree we have to be careful there as well, because preferred stocks, if you will, even though many classify them as fixed income, they have very long duration. So when interest rates start increasing, preferreds can actually come down pretty significantly. So there's no free lunch, as they say.
Yeah, let's go back to school for a second. I know it's early on a Saturday morning, but usually the average person would say, oh, duration, that's kind of like maturity, right? Maturity of the bond, not maturity of the bond owner.
Right.
And but duration in the world of investing has a slightly different meaning.
It does. Duration to bonds is similar to the term beta for stocks. It's a measure of sensitivity to interest rate changes. And when you have a high duration or a long duration, the sensitivity to interest rate changes is very significant.
So if you had a duration of 10, for example, it's of 10 years, that would mean that if interest rates went up 1%, what would happen to the value of a bond with a duration of 10?
Well, if for a 100 basis point or a 1% increase, you would have about a 10% decline.
In
the value of the bond.
Okay.
And I think it's important in this time that we're in to really watch that and not to get too far out on the what we call the yield curve or in the maturity spectrum, because there's a fairly significant amount of interest rate risk should rates start rising. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the sort of unintended consequences of the Fed keeping rates low is that it's almost forced investors to take more risk than maybe they should. And with the lack of viable alternatives out there, many investors have either reached for yield or they've overweighted equities, maybe to a point where they're taking on a little bit too much risk. And I think that's something we should also keep an eye on.
If it's true that bull markets climb walls of worry, a certain amount of worry seems to have re-entered, re-entered the building. So is this, in a way, this little correction, mini correction or almost correction? I think intraday the S&P at some point has down about 4.5-5% below its peak.
Right.
Is this just a normal correction, which is just unfun, the so-called pothole, or is this possibly the beginning of something more serious?
But we believe that it's a normal correction at this point. It's interesting, Chris. You generally get about 5% corrections per year, and it's been almost a year since we've had a 5% correction. And to take it a step farther, you get about a 10% correction every 170 days on average. And believe it or not, we're pushing 600 days since we've had a 10% correction.
Well, it seems like yesterday.
It seems like yesterday. But, you know, Mark, this is a normal part of any healthy market is corrections, and it's been a long time since we've had one. I think that can be a little precarious when we go for so long without a pullback.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we are getting this pullback now, I think, is probably healthy. And just because the Fed begins to taper their bond purchases doesn't mean stocks will have to necessarily go into a bear market. Oftentimes, stocks do very well in the early stages of Fed tightening.
Typically. What sectors of the market, then, if in fact the Fed is going to begin its process of unwinding all this massive stimulus that's been in the wake of the Great Recession, what parts of the market, then, would people be best advised to start investigating?
Well, this is the big debate now, is whether to you know, be exposed to cyclical stocks, which are sensitive to economic activity, and not just in the United States, but around the globe, or on the other hand, be more defensive and own less economically sensitive
stocks. Consumer staples,
like,
so to speak.
Consumer staples, healthcare. I think that it's important in a portfolio to remain diversified and have exposure to a number of different areas. The one area that we would feel somewhat hesitant to take a large weighting in now would be the utilities sector. I think utilities tend to benefit when interest rates decline, and in many respects, we think they're fully valued, if not overvalued now. So when rates do start rising, that could be pressure on the utility sector.
Okay.
But there are some very compelling valuations out there today. I think we have to be careful because not everything is cheap like it was a few years ago.
It was shooting fish in a barrel.
That's right.
I
think selectivity is important, and I think active managers are going to have a better opportunity to outperform the averages now because correlations are coming down. It's been difficult for a lot of managers to exceed the averages, but I think stock selection is going to become key, and we're going to have to focus on valuation.
Again, you've done it. Another great, great set of observations. David Osborne from the firm of Osborne, Ross, Williams & Donahoe, I want to thank you so much for being with us this Saturday morning.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.